Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by the Growth Platform Framework. B2B FinTech startups accelerate customer acquisition and set up business operations to scale systematically. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@ipractitioners.com. Now, over to the show with Richard Dozy, founder and host. Hey, what's up, everyone? Today on the show, we have Jordan Lawrence, CCO of Vault Open Banking. Jordan is also the chairman and CEO of Pin Capital and a startup investor. Hey, Jordan, great to have you on the show. How are things going today?
Thanks. Yeah, thanks, Richard. Great to be here. All's going well. Nice Christmas and New Year's break. So just getting back into it and looking forward to 2021.
Cool. Let's kick off the show with you just giving a bit of a high-level background and overview into Vault Open Banking.
Yeah, sure. So Vault is a account-to-account a payment service, what's obviously called open banking in Europe. But I mean, now it's Pix in Brazil, UPI in India, and the list goes on and on. Vault is a single point aggregator for merchants and PSPs. You can plug in and have a one-stop shop for the largest account-to-account payment coverage in the world.
Cool. And to paint a picture for our listeners, and I know you've been obviously in the market for a while, can you maybe talk through how the idea of Vault came about?
Yeah, sure. So Tom Greenwood, who's our CEO, also owns and was at IFX Payments for quite some time in London. I think 15 years he built that business. They do billions of dollars turnover a year. It's FX and payments and treasury services. So actually, it was his idea. The PSD2 regulation came around, and we saw a gap in the market where basically there was a lot of people focusing on the data side of PSD2, so the account information services side. These necessarily weren't payments people. We looked at the data, found it to be very ambiguous and hard to translate, let's say. At the same time, there was no one focusing on the payment side of PSD2, so the PIS side, payment initiation services. So there will be a gap in the market there to aggregate all the data in one place, aggregate the API connectivity, and bring out a product, much like a traditional payment gateway, but for purely open banking based on these new rails. But yeah, that was Tom's thinking. So obviously we got together initially in Amsterdam, where I have an office with PCN Capital, and discussed the whole thing. And we've come up with this, and it's growing really fast.
You know, how long did it take you coming up with the idea to actually start building the tech and then obviously rolling it out into the market?
Yeah, so luckily it was an accelerated process because for background with PCN, I mean, the Payments and Cards Network there is a media recruitment company, as you know, it's been around for about 12 years. So the amount of people in that network in payments and pay tech is enormous. So very quickly, we got together a team of experts, let's say a advisory board of some very senior payments people. Robert Kral is our chairman. He was one of the founders at Adyen. CTO is also ex-Adyen, Stefan Vollert. He was the head of expansion there and built the entire APM team. And we've actually just hired our head of integration, also from an Adyen person. So we've got a really strong team of a very successful payments background from that company, those people. But also the wider board consists of, you know, people from the board of Ingenico, Stone Bank in Brazil, MGI Research, all sorts of very interesting people with huge amounts of knowledge in the payment space. So the idea came around in about 2018 from Tom. We all sat around the table, discussed it. And of course, everybody came out with some fantastic ideas off the top of it. And we've managed to plug it together. I think the first transaction happened in May 2020.
Cool. I mean, that is pretty quick from idea to getting it out into the market. And can you tell me what methods and tactics you used in the early days to get that product vis market fit?
Yeah, as I say, I think the main tactic was just the network, right? If you want to start a business in an area where you have no network in, then it's going to be very difficult. So yeah, I think it was great to be able to bring together that initial team from a PCN side. So we brought together our chairman, our CTO, a couple of advisors, and obviously Tom has a background in payments as well. And then we all looked at our network, who's got the most knowledge, sit around the table and grow. And I think that was the main tactic. To be honest, it would have been very, very difficult just to sort of get into the market with no knowledge about it or the sector, just trying to sort of go off the back of a new regulation. So I think that was the main tactic. And seeing you know, being very strategic about who we bring on board, because there's a lot of people, as you well know, in the payment space with very similar knowledge coming from a very similar place. So it's really important to see how you want to grow, in which country specifically, and then start bringing in the knowledge from not only the countries, but also from the merchant side, from every angle that you can possibly look at in the business, in the payment space, and get all the knowledge on in one place, if you see what I mean.
You know, just to touch on that, I think, you know, being strategic and being focused on who you want is very important. How has that helped you get to where you are today?
Yeah, it's having a very clear vision from the start, as everybody says, every podcast you ever hear probably, is really important. So that was it. We basically came up with the vision. Where do we want to be in 5 years' time, let's say, and who do we need to help us get there? And I think that's where that's really fitted in really, really well.
And when you brought this team of senior leaders and experts together, you know, I was wondering what processes and systems you prioritized upfront to support your growth.
Yeah, it's a good question. So what we did is, keep in mind, it was pre-COVID, right? So we thought, yeah, let's build an office in London. Let's build an office in Amsterdam with lots of people. Let's build an office in Poland and so on and so forth. So we did start off building those offices so that we've got physical businesses and offices in London, Amsterdam, Poland. But then COVID came along. I think I was in Malta at the beginning of 2020, just before the COVID kicked off, talking to a lot of sort of merchants down there. And then we realized very quickly, okay, we have to distribute. So luckily, we hadn't really settled on systems that would be really important for the business moving forward, such as CRMs and things like that. So we just made sure we chose CRMs that were extremely flexible and made sure we set everybody up to be remote really quickly when the COVID came around. And that worked. And we sort of changed our tactic to, do we want everyone piled into one office or does it matter where they are? We realized it doesn't really matter where they are. In fact, it can be advantageous because the more spread out the team, the closer they are to merchants that are not necessarily all in one country. But I think that the main thing is be flexible in your planning so that if a sudden global pandemic breaks out, you can still succeed.
That is very, very important. And I guess from a systems and processes perspective, that's one part of the equation to look at. But there's also, you alluded to sort of people and locations around that. I mean, maybe on a go-forward basis, what model are you looking to use to scale up your people side of the business?
From a people perspective, luckily PCN in the background. So if we need to hire, so we're at 21 people now in terms of the size of the business. And if we need specific knowledge, we can turn to PCN. If we need developers, let's say in our Warsaw office or Krakow office, we use local recruitment agencies there as well. And if it's more, let's say, of a broad knowledge base that we need, keep in mind, everyone is from the payment industry. So we kind of try and tap into our own network as well. But that can be fundamentally flawed because, of course, if everybody comes from the same network, we don't bring in fresh pair of eyes. So we've got a combination of using really good recruitment agencies and using our own network to compare the candidates on the market from a people perspective. From a, let's say, growth strategy on the merchant side, we're really going down the merchant-led approach. Because we're small, as I say, 21 people, we're super nimble, very agile. And we're in talks with some really large merchants at the moment, household names in various industries who have really bespoke needs. So we're sort of building bespoke products and customized products around their needs, which has really been advantageous because this is such a new thing, PSD2, open banking in Europe. It's all really, really new. So everyone has different needs. The bigger the merchant, the more stuck in the ways they are. So we can actually adopt really, really quickly to our approach. So in that respect, it's merchant-led. And we've chosen various countries to go into, various continents to go into, and prioritize those over the next few years. And again, it's merchant-led. So if we're talking to some very large merchants that need open banking or account-to-account services in Brazil, then we'll prioritize that. If a majority are going into Latin America, let's say, if they need services in India, then we'll go into India and grow with our merchants and PSPs.
And just going back to the people side of things, and I know you mentioned you have, it sounds like you've got quite a good network and ecosystem to find the right individual. But from a model perspective, are you guys looking at a go-forward system or ecosystem where it's location independent? Or are you still, as you alluded to previously, are you still looking at those locations such as Amsterdam, you know, London, etc.?
Look, I think it would be great to think this pandemic is about to end next month and we build offices again and you know, physical team vibes, let's say. But we have to keep realistic. So for us at the moment, we've decided we're hiring people I mean, our team is now distributed as follows. We have people in Switzerland, even. We have people in Vienna, a guy called Thomas Pinter, who was the ex-CCO from a PSP called Strahl. He's joined us pretty early, a fantastic guy, and he's there on his own, let's say, in Vienna. I'm actually down in Portugal. We've got another two salespeople in Portugal as well. So for now, it's like, if you want to come and join Vault, great. It doesn't really matter where you are, but keep in mind, one day you might have to move to one of these central hubs.
It makes complete sense for now. And you touched on growth strategies and the merchant-led growth strategies. And tell me, are there other growth strategies that you're looking at executing during the course of this year and also, obviously, as you grow your business and move forward?
The thing is there, being merchant-led, I think, is the main strategy that payment companies and new payment methods should adopt, because there's one aspect of saying, okay, here's our product, go and buy it. Or there's another aspect of talking to the merchant, what do you need? Let's fit our service around your need and then grow there. And I think that is really our main tactic. Other growth strategies in place, yes, but that, I mean, I will say that that is the main one, just being merchant-led, country-led. What do the merchants want? Can we fit that in? Okay, let's do it. And for now, that really is our focus. So that's on the merchant side. If you look at PSPs as well, it's very similar. I think we're integrated to 10 PSPs now. Ingenico, main partner, let's say, it's probably the largest one we're integrated to at the moment. Those guys have got some enormous needs all over the world. So again, it's listening to not only the merchants, but looking to the future of who are your partners, who are your PSPs servicing as well, and sort of scaling up with the PSPs also. So it's a twofold approach, right? What do the merchants want? What do the PSPs want? Let's see if we can all work together.
Can you go through the process of how you find the merchants and also how you find the PSPs, which obviously then propel you to grow and scale up?
I think it's down to the problem we're solving, right? The problem we're solving is that there are so many players now in this open banking space, and let's say account-to-account services space, that merchants sort of don't want to be integrating 15 different products to get the best coverage on the market. So we've solved a really big problem here. We're saving merchants a huge amount of money, not only on the transaction processing costs, but on the integration costs, on the time costs, which is the main one. They don't have to keep talking to so many different parties, and the same as the PSP. So, you know, our network is pretty big in the payment space anyway. We've had some really early success with some of these PSPs and merchants because we know the heads of payments, or we know the C-suite at the PSPs, let's say. But moving forward, I think there's no other company that has the same coverage as we do, and the simple APIs and the UX, which is essentially like a normal payment gateway backend that we have. So people are coming to us every day to try and integrate. So there is an aggressive business development approach, that's for sure, to try and bring awareness into the market. But the big names, the household names, the big PSPs, luckily, are sort of coming our way for advice, really.
You just touched on something which is around bringing awareness to the market. How are you doing that? Is it a combination of factors, or is it a specific funnel that you're looking at, such as social media?
So LinkedIn, of course, is a big one. A lot of the payments industry is on LinkedIn and other social platforms, absolutely. But we're hosting webinars, also appearing on a lot of these podcasts. Thank you very much, like these, Richard. You know, so the name gets out there, right? And I think as long as people understand that there is a one-stop shop for open banking or account-to-account payments, then, you know, people will come to us, and then you can sort of educate the market on which countries are working really well, which banks are working really well, what are the opportunities to use open banking services for, and how do you take advantage of those. So I think, to answer the question, there is a marketing backend to our team, and you can see a lot of posts, as I say, all over the place on LinkedIn and various events and these podcasts. And I think that's the only way at the moment we're sort of educating the market, and obviously just direct merchant and PSP contact, right? We're working very closely with senior product teams to some very large merchants and senior product teams, all the PSPs. And in turn, that knowledge then trickles down throughout the market, and it all reciprocates.
As you go through this stage, I was wondering how you, as a senior management team, measure the success of the growth and the strategies.
Yeah, I think this is the main point of open banking. We've processed hundreds and hundreds of thousands of payments now. And we monitor very, very carefully the conversion rates and the adoption rates from consumers country by country. Let's say constant coverage upgrades, right? So we're letting our merchants know, letting our PSPs know, okay, Portugal's gone live now with us. You know, here are the adoption rates so far. You know, then they can strategize themselves as to how much they put into each country. And again, it's on merchant demand, right? So the merchants are demanding all these conversion rates. The larger ones want to know conversion rates and things like this and success rates before they go live. So the more data we have and the longer we go on, then there's a snowball effect. We have all this data. We can go back to the merchants and present this to them. And it just makes everyone feel a lot easier about a new payment method.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And, you know, as you guys are moving forward and you're looking obviously into 2021 and beyond, what are the questions you're asking and factors that you're considering to make certain that you continue along that growth trajectory?
Yeah, so it's a good question again. And it's like, because again, it's so new, the PSD2, open banking, account to account. So you've got to constantly keep asking questions. It's not like this has been established for many, many years. So we're constantly looking at our tools. So constant tool monitoring, let's say, is our CRM up to it? Are we doing right by the merchants and PSPs, let's say, from a customer relationship management standpoint? Do we have the latest marketing tools in order to get the information out into the market, in order to educate? From a license perspective, when do we need to go and apply for new licenses, right? We're licensed in the UK at the moment, so London and Lithuania. But, you know, we're going into LATAM this year, into India this year, into Singapore, and so on and so forth. So at what point do we need to apply for those new licenses to make us market ready when we land in those countries? Do we need to do it now? Do we need to do it when we're there? You know, what does it take? Do we need to open offices in these places? Then, of course, there's the whole pandemic we're in, right? I hate to keep talking about it, but as I'm sure everyone is bored of it now, but does the COVID affect growth? You know, hopefully not, because everything's online, but is it going to affect the hiring? Are people more reluctant to move if they're in a cushy office job? Do they want to take the risk with a new startup, let's say, in these COVID times? And obviously the well-being of the existing team. We've got a fantastic team, right? But you know yourself, when you're working from home, you tend to work around the clock because your laptop's always on in your bedroom or you know, wherever it is. So you work more and then you sort of get into this situation where you're just working all the time. So you don't really have a life as you used to have. So it's really important to keep the well-being of the existing team in mind. That's something we're really careful about. And of course, what's happened recently, why we're in Lithuania is the Brexit. So how's that going to continue affecting businesses? Not only us, but obviously our merchants and the PSPs and things like this. So these are the kind of questions you have to be asking almost on a weekly basis. Do the merchants need to piggyback off licenses in Europe now? Do the PSPs need to do the same? Do your providers need to do the same? Because of course, Brexit has changed quite a bit of things legislatively.
Yeah, a lot of useful information there. And I'll pick up one, which I think is really important, which is the well-being of your team and your employees. And, you know, just on that, what are the things that you guys are doing internally to help your team through this, I guess, period?
Yeah, so it's constant communication, right? If you thought communication was important before lockdown or COVID, then it's even more important now. So we're just constantly having check-ins, daily check-ins, weekly check-ins, making sure everyone is mentally well, let's say, but also motivated. And the job continues to be in keeping as to the reasons why they're doing it, right? They have to continuously remember why they're doing the job and you're doing the job and helping them see the light at the end of the tunnel from a COVID perspective. I think it was August when things weren't so bad in the Netherlands. We all flew to Amsterdam and had a couple of days all together as a team. And I think that's really important. So try to, as best you can, forecast when that might be the next time you can all meet up and just start giving everyone a bit of hope, you know, as to when we're going to see each other again and actually have some sort of physical interaction.
Yeah, and, you know, I'd also like to ask you about something else you mentioned around Brexit and maybe just a view as to how you think this is going to play out. I know it's still new and we're still trying to get our heads around it, but it'll be very interesting to get your view on that.
I actually think it's all going to be fine. From a travel perspective, it seemed to be worse. Like if people want to travel outside of the UK or people with British passports and stuff like that, but they'll update all their systems and their machines eventually. You know, people will be able to travel, I'm sure, without a problem. And in terms of trade legislation, look, I think the UK done an unusual thing at the moment by getting out of the European Union, but long term, who knows? I think the UK will always survive and it will do well, I'm sure. And in which case, it's just about rebuilding those trade routes with countries across Europe and negotiating good deals for everyone so that business can go on. I mean, you know, the UK is so close to the mainland, it makes no sense at all that they don't continue trading in an easy way, let's say. There's already been some really good deals put in place by the UK government and Brussels. So I just hope those talks continue and trade is easy.
Of all the things you've spoken about today, what do you think is the most important bit of information you would want our listeners to understand and take away?
I think from a specifically Vault perspective, and if you're in our situation, let's say, where you are a newly funded startup and you're accelerating your growth, I would say, you know, keep the team spirit going right the way through your people. So don't diversify and don't get lazy because you think, oh, we're all sitting at home, everyone's working from home. The fintech industry has never been so busy. Everybody's buying everything online now. So, you know, profits are really up for the fintech space. There's money still being invested in the fintech community, which is fantastic to see. So I think stick with it. It's only going to get better, which is great because it's already great. So if you're in the fintech space and you're scaling up, I would say just make sure your team are all continuously bought into your vision. They're bought into the vision and their own vision. And you keep in constant contact with everyone in order to be a success through these times.
Yeah, cool. Some sage advice there. And as all leaders and entrepreneurs, we all like learning. So, you know, it'd be cool to see if you've read any recent books or are reading a book that you think might be useful to the wider community.
Absolutely. So I'm a huge book fan and a podcast fan. I tend to read quite a lot. So I've always got a few books on the go, to be honest, lying around the house. The ones I've got at the moment, it's a book called Blitz Scaling.
Ah, yes.
This is, I really, really like this. So if you're, again, looking to scale a business, I guess, Richard, you are a guru on this subject anyway. But, you know, if you're listening, Blitz Scaling, fantastic book to help you get around the ideas and put some of them in. Even if you put 10% of the book into place, I think you'll have a massive acceleration. More of a fun one called Billion Dollar Whale, about a guy called Joe Lowe, a Malaysian chap who I think is probably the second most wanted man in the world outside Jan Marsalek at the moment. And it's very fascinating how he managed to, with a lot of confidence, make a huge amount of money. So that's good, Billion Dollar Whale. And I'm reading one of more spiritual nature called The Untethered Soul, which is a fantastic book if you're, you know, a bit stressed, and just helps you put everything back into perspective.
Some interesting reads there. And, you know, as we wrap up the show, how can people get in touch with you guys and yourself?
Yeah, so anytime you can email Jordan, like the country, so Jordan at vault.io or Jordan at pcn.capital, whichever you like, to find out more about Vault or PCN. Yeah, these are the best ways.
Cool. It's been really great having you on the show and some brilliant insight into what you guys are doing and also where you guys are going over the next year and obviously into the future. So, you know, good luck with it and really looking forward to seeing you guys be successful.
Thanks, Richard. This has been a great talk for me as well. And thanks for the opportunity.